Welcome to Lilydale Radio, featuring topics about spiritualism, mediumship, healing, spirituality, and the Lilydale Assembly, the world's largest center for the religion, philosophy, and science of spiritualism. This is Lilydale Radio.
Hello, everybody. Here we are with Lilydale Radio. I am Colleen VanderZijden and Lilydale, and I'm also a certified life coach. And as a life coach, I help people take action to create the life of their dreams. And as a medium, we connect in with our loved ones on the other side. So I do want to thank you all for watching and listening today. I've got an interesting show planned, as usual. And as you can see, I'm in a different location again. I'm doing a bit of traveling, and I'm in a new place. It's kind of fun to visit around in different locations and see what's going on. Hi, Michelle. Thank you so much for watching. We're going to have a nice show tonight. So if you don't know anything about Lilydale, I do recommend you go to their website, lilydaleassembly.org. And you can see everything that is coming up. And I do believe, I understand, we'll see if it's true, that at the end of March, they should have all of the summer workshops up on the website. I don't think the brochure will be printed up and ready to go yet, but the website should be close and awful ready. Here's another Michelle. Hi, Michelle. Nice to see you, too. And James, how are you? Now, even though I'm in Florida, I'm on the west side of Florida now, it is about 40 degrees warmer here than it is in Lilydale. So I'm happy to be here, even though it's still a little bit on the cooler side. It could always be worse, that's for sure. So let's see, what else do I need to tell you? Oh, I do want to talk about the preseason workshops that are coming up. We have Lisa Williams' workshop. It's March 22nd. If you're going to be in the Lilydale area, you want to do that. It's on mastering the message. And if you want more information about that, I understand she's going to be on Willa's show tomorrow at 10 o'clock in the morning. And I'm pretty sure they're going to be talking about the workshop and other things that have to do with mediumship. So you can get all of the most wonderful information you possibly can out of Lisa tomorrow. Then if you've ever been interested in spirit art, Susan Barnes is going to be teaching a workshop on spirit art April 5th through the 7th. And that will be fun to do. I don't think you have to have artistic abilities or training or anything like that. It's another form of channeling spirit and allowing spirit to come through with the art. A long time ago, I don't even know how many years ago, I learned how to do some kind of drawing thing. It wasn't art like, you know, Joe and Susan do, where they're actually drawing spirits. I was doing something else and then reading off of it. And it was kind of fun. It's just a different channeling, a different experience of getting information through. So if you've ever thought of doing something like that, there's a good one for you. And then let's see, what else do we have? We have a healing workshop with Barbara Sanson and Chuck Forget on April 12th and 13th. And as you know, Barbara is in charge of the Healing Temple, and she's amazing. I've taken several classes from her, of course, and I've taught a couple little segments for her for some of her classes as well. So she's fun, and that's coming up too. So hello, Elizabeth. Hello, Holly. Well, thank you, Holly. It's trying to give as much information as I can out here in all sorts of different ways. And, of course, my workshop coming up is Healing Immersion Weekend, May 31st to June 2nd, and that will be fun, kind of intensive, but not overly intensive. I'll be doing all sorts of different things, giving you lots of good information so that you can apply it if you've ever been interested in doing any healing work. I've been doing healing work since, my goodness, when, 2000, 2001, that area, and I've had a lot of fun with it, and I've had some really interesting results that have come up, and that's another example of how you can channel energy. You can channel through the healing, you can channel through the mediumship, and all of those things. So those are just a few ideas, things that are coming up. You can get the rest of the information on Lilydale's website, lilydaleassembly.org, and you can see everything there. You can go to my website, colleenvanderzijden.com. Be brave, try to spell it, or if you can't, or you're just too scared, you do psychicmediumcolleen.com, and you can find me there as well. So today, what we are going to be talking about first is living the imperfectly perfect life. Or is it living the imperfectly perfect or perfectly imperfect life? It doesn't really make a difference which way I do it, because that's what we're going to be talking about. Life, as you know, is not perfect. It doesn't go as planned. We have all sorts of issues, challenges, problems, all sorts of things can pop up. Sometimes we have things happen a certain way, and they're not the way we want them to be. Intellectually, we know everything is not perfect. We know that's the way it is. But that doesn't seem to stop us from trying to force life to go the way we want life to go. We still try to do it. Sometimes we think of when we have a problem, when that problem is over with, then our lives will be perfect. Everything will just be fine. We have this way of idealizing how life should be or could be. And when we have a problem, what we end up doing is we focus on the problem to the point that sometimes it colors our whole lives. We may have a problem in a certain area of our life, but it's such a big problem that it seems to infiltrate everything else and colors our perspective, and we don't understand how our life really is. It's like our brains get a little bit off, and if we have one problem, it affects everything. So sometimes, too, when we're thinking about trying to create a perfect life, we compare what we think we should have or what we believe we used to have. We compare to other people. We compare to ourselves. We compare to some idealized image that is not accurate. And then we might feel dissatisfied that we don't have the life we thought we were going to have. It's not the perfect life we wanted. Sometimes we catastrophize and make our little problems worse. I had a client once years ago whose wife had died several years before I saw him, and he was now idealizing her. He was finding it a challenge to have a new relationship since the last one was perfect. And he told me many times the last relationship was perfect. It was perfect. There was nothing wrong with it. There were no problems, nothing. And his memories were maybe just a tad unbalanced. And while it's nice and wonderful to focus on the good, and we do want to do that, if we forget to balance it out with reality of how things really are, we all know a normal relationship is not perfect. We all know that no one is perfect in that idealized way. And we can become disillusioned if we're not aware of the facts of the matter. His wife, this man's wife, was a wonderful person. There's no question about that. But I know they had their disagreements and arguments, as we all have had in our relationships. And because, though, she had passed, he was feeling a little bit of guilt, and that was part of it. He had nothing to do with it, but he was feeling a little bit of guilt because he thought he could have helped more. And because he was in the grief process, he was so focused on how wonderful his wife had been that he was missing out on opportunities that were right there in front of him in the present moment. He was missing out on a person who was there in his life, because he was holding her up to a higher standard than could possibly be met by anyone, because it wasn't realistic. And because of this, he kept wishing for the past. He kept wishing for life to be the way it used to be, rather than looking at life as it is now and looking at the blessings he had in front of him at this very moment. He couldn't see those things. Somehow, many of us, I think, we've been trained to want perfection. And I'm speaking as a recovering perfectionist. And I say recovering because I believe that this may be something I'm thinking about until I'm 120. So we strive to be the best. We strive to be good at what we do. We strive not to make mistakes because we don't want to be criticized or judged. And as I was growing up, telling you a little bit about my perfectionism struggles here, I tried to do everything right. I tried to be responsible and do what I was supposed to do, and always tried to do my best. However, there became a difference between doing my best and moving into some kind of a self-criticism because I wasn't good enough or I wasn't perfect enough. And I might have protected myself a little bit and not taken any risks, not put myself out there because I didn't want to make a mistake and I didn't want people to think badly of me. And this is something, as I said, I will be thinking about for a while, but I'm aware, and being aware makes a big difference, because if you're aware of aspects of yourself that you might want to change, then you can change them. If you're not aware, you can't do anything about it, of course. And even though I say I'm recovering, I still am recovering, I can fall in that trap. And as you know, I've been taking art lessons, watercolor painting lessons. And I remember the teacher saying at one point, you have to know when to stop painting. And that spoke to me because, you know, when I'm looking at my painting and, oh, maybe I should do this. Maybe I should do that. Maybe if I do this, it'll make it a little bit better. If I do that, it'll make it a little bit better. And what can happen is you try to fix something to the point that you actually take it way farther than it should, and you can make it go the other way and not be good anymore. Same thing when I was selling my house. Hi, Laura. Thank you so much for watching from Canada. And Annie, nice to see you again. When I was selling my house, I had lived in this house for, 15, 20 years, whatever it was. And so I'm getting it ready to sell. So I want to make it, very presentable. So I started doing all these things. I was painting all the rooms, doing all these things I didn't do when I lived in it. And the house was perfectly fine, but the real estate agent said I had to get rid of the wallpaper. So we took off all the wallpaper. We were painting and painting. I was doing this, doing that, and I was putting thousands of dollars into this house just to get it on the market, which was ridiculous. And it became one of those things where, well, it's not quite ready to put on the market yet. I've got to do one more thing. Now, if you ever fall into this trap as well, you'll understand what I'm talking about. The problem is we may never finish anything then. We may never get to that. And if you already have a perfectionist tendency, you want things to be a certain way, that may apply to other aspects of your life as well, where you're looking for a partner and you're looking for somebody to be perfect rather than somebody who will love you as you are. And really, that's all we want, isn't it? Somebody to love us as we are. And when someone doesn't that kind of get in our way a little bit? And we start to think, we just don't know. Was this in your early musical life when you didn't let yourself go out on a limb? Yes, that is so true. And being a performer, a performing violinist, I've talked before about how in lessons, music lessons, our teachers would always tell us what we're doing wrong in music. It's faster. We'll just tell you what you're doing wrong so you can fix it and make it better. And it turned into a little bit of a self-critical voice. So even in performing, to be able to stand up in front of somebody and to be willing to go all out for it without keeping myself reined in so I didn't make a big mistake. And it is interesting because I have two kind of aspects of my personality. One is the performing aspect where I can get outside of my head a little bit and just play and let it come out. Then I have the other side where I think too much. Now, if those two get together and I think too much while I'm playing, my playing is going to suffer. And so it kind of goes together. It's a very interesting thing, isn't it? And being a perfectionist can infiltrate, like I was saying, so many different aspects. So if you are waiting for your life to be perfect before you can do something, or if you're striving for something that will never be perfect in some kind of weird definition, I'm actually going to go into that, what a description of perfection is. Because when we think of perfection, what do we think about? We want it perfect. We want it to be without mistakes. We want it to be so beautiful or something like this. We think it's without problems, and we think that perfect means easy, that if I have the perfect job, it's going to be easy. But really, we're going to expand that perspective a little bit because we're exactly where we're supposed to be, doing exactly what we're supposed to be doing. So doesn't that make it perfect? Everything that you experience in your life, doesn't it come to you to help you develop yourself, to help you become a better person? So that would be a perfect path. As humans, we tend to control. We want things to go our way, and that's where we run into difficulties. Rather than trusting the divine to show us where we need to go, trusting the divine to bring to us what we need in order to grow as people, we try to control outcomes. We try to force things to happen. We try to make things happen the way we think they should be. And maybe we are striving for a little bit of that perfection, having everything just right. If we were to enjoy our journey instead and look at life as a perfect journey, and using a different description of perfect as being perfect for you, right for you, that might help you experience more joy on your journey to love the life you're having and you're moving in just the way you're supposed to be. And so when I say life is perfectly imperfect or the other way around, perfectly imperfect or imperfectly perfect, no matter which way you say it, it works out fine. Because you're creating what you want to be creating. So if you change that definition and make it something else. That will help. And lots of times, I think what happens is we don't accept life. We don't accept what's happening. And we don't accept the process. Like I was saying, we want to control, we want to force, we want things to go our way. And if you don't know this yet, Mercury retrograde is starting tomorrow. And this can cause all sorts of issues with travel, communication, things like this. Apparently, I don't know that much about it, okay? Apparently, it affects certain astrological signs more profoundly. It affects them more profoundly than others. So if you're interested in that, you might want to look it up in relation to your sign to see how this Mercury retrograde is going to affect you. I was talking to somebody the other day, and she was telling me some of the problems going on in her life. And I said, well, I know exactly what's going on. The universe is bringing these problems to you so that you can recognize it's time for you to take care of yourself. It's time for you to grow and learn and not be so concerned about fixing other people and helping other people, but instead be more concerned about what you can do so you feel more like you, so you can be happier and live your life on your terms. And she's like, oh, so a little bit later, though, she did send me her Mercury retrograde horoscope, so to speak, and it matched almost exactly what I had said to her. So that was kind of an affirmation for her. You want to be aware whatever is happening in your life is perfect. Your problems, your obstacles, your thoughts, whatever it is, they're leading you to the best version of you. If you can believe that, just that alone will change how you're experiencing life. It will change it perfectly. You won't have to feel that you have to take care of everything, fix everything, control everything. You won't have to do it. It'll be awesome. It could be anything happening could be helping you with your self-awareness and all of that too. Now, I do want to tell you, if you're just joining in, this is Lilydale Radio. I'm Colleen Vanderzijden. I'm a registered medium at Lilydale. I'm also a certified life coach. And let's feeling like we're running out of time due to aging sure can make us impatient. Oh my goodness, Laura, that is so true. That is so true. She's just saying feeling like we're running out of time, you know, as we get older. And that can make us also, there's a sense of urgency, isn't there, that we need to get everything done that we want to do. And even though I'm telling you to go with the flow of your life and all of that and what's happening, trusting the process and all of that, that doesn't ever mean not to set goals, dreams, and plans. Always set goals, dreams, and plans. Just be open for the detours that might come along that could take you someplace even better than you thought. That might take you to a better opportunity. And I think I may have mentioned this before, speaking of art. My art teacher had a problem with her health. Her back or something was really seriously injured, and she couldn't get out and do things. So her daughter gave her a bunch of art supplies, and my art teacher actually taught herself how to paint. Now, if she hadn't been open to this learning on this detour of her life, she would have been miserable. She wouldn't have recognized that this detour was actually the perfect plan for her. It was taking her exactly where she needed to go. She's an amazing artist, amazing, and she's an awesome teacher as well. So everybody who takes lessons from her is really learning a lot. And when she was sharing this story with us, she recognized the value in this. She could see the divine path here, whereas a bad, in quotes, experience of getting hurt and not being able to move, do the things you normally do, that actually leaves her pretty much bedridden at home and not doing much, led her on this new path. So she could look back and see, oh my goodness, look at this. This is what came of that. So if you can recognize when you have a detour now or a problem that it could be leading you someplace better, you'll be happier to handle your life. You won't be striving for that perfection that, you know, the grass is always greener with the people next door. You know, they have much more than you do where you're comparing and all of that. Yeah. Now, to move into this idea a little bit more, when you're learning, these things can help you with your self-awareness. Maybe you want to help another person. Maybe whatever's happening in your life is to show your love to another person. Or maybe something's going on in your life and you need to reach out and ask for help from another person and get guidance from them. You don't have to do everything by yourself. There's always a way. To move into the idea that your life is perfect in its imperfect way, or vice versa, accept that life has problems. It's just the way it is. then you can detach from the difficult emotions. You won't get stuck in them. When we have a problem, we get stuck in the emotion. And so we think we're stuck in a problem, but we're really stuck in the emotion. We can't process things just yet. Once you feel the emotions, then you can move on and process. When you're stuck, you lose your sense of self and you lose your inner power as well. Hello, Mark. Nice to see you again. Now, if you're resisting, if you find yourself resisting situations, you're resisting what's happening in your life. You've got a lot of issues going on, a lot of problems. What's probably happening is you are stuck in those emotions again, and you've kind of lost your sense of self. You might be wishing for what was. You might be continually striving to create that perfect life you should have, and whoever's idea is should there, that you should have. You might become hypercritical of yourself. You might start to judge yourself. How come you can't handle this better? You should be able to handle this better. You should be able to do this. You should be able to do that. You might start to question why you're emotional and you're going through this gigantic problem. Don't question why you're emotional. Go with the emotion. Go with it. If you want to scream and cry, you go ahead and scream and cry because that's going to help you process these things and move through it. Life is full of crap. It really is. It's full of crap. We have awful things happen, downright painful, downright disappointing, everything. Things happen. But if you understand they are there as part of your life to help you learn and grow, that can make it easier. You've got to focus on not expecting life to be perfect. Life isn't going to be perfect. Just because you envisioned your life to be a different way doesn't mean that different way would have been perfect for you. This may very well be the perfect way for you. It's not pleasant if you're going through a big issue, but this may be the perfect way, and it's going to lead you someplace better, someplace special. You're going to learn how to appreciate the good in life. You're going to learn how to appreciate your friends who are there for you. You're going to learn how to recognize how strong you really are. You're going to learn to recognize that it's okay to be vulnerable and let people know that you're not doing okay. You're going to recognize these things. If you're struggling with a problem, just think about some of those things I've said. When you get going and you start beating yourself up, you know, I should be doing this. I should be doing that. I can't believe I'm upset about this. I shouldn't be upset about that. You know, I've got to be strong because everybody needs me to be strong. You don't have to do those things. When you're beating yourself up, putting yourself down, it's as though you think the way you're acting, believing, feeling is a mistake, and it's not a mistake. It's exactly the way it's supposed to be. When we think of the word mistake, it can make us feel less than good enough, less than whatever. And that's not who we are. We are all more than enough. We are all who we need to be. And that's the way it's supposed to be as well. If you blame others or you feel like you're a victim of life circumstances or a victim of other people, it's the same thing. It's the same idea as a mistake. And really, a mistake is something that happens when you're unaware. Okay, you're not aware. But if you're aware that you're doing the best you can, it's not a mistake. It's just the way it's supposed to be. If you judge yourself because you think you don't measure up, whose standard are you holding yourself to? Is it yours or is it somebody else's? Okay, you can just let that go as well. These things, the mistake, judging yourself, that's not a reflection of who you are as a person. And if you're open to shifting your perspective for looking for the good, you'll see that a mistake or something that happens not quite the way you want it to be is helping you recognize an opportunity to become more aware, to learn from whatever's happening in your life. When you accept that this is the way life is, you'll become empowered. I'm telling you, this one idea is more than enough to keep you in the right place where you need to be. And so which way are you looking? I was standing someplace once, and when I looked to one side, it was this gigantic thunderstorm cloud. It was so dark and so ominous. But when I looked to the other side, it was perfectly blue sky. The contrast was amazing. I was standing right underneath the change. And I remember thinking, well, this is so interesting. Depends on which way I look, what I see. If I look at the ominous clouds, I can feel threatened and that something horrible is going to happen. But if I look the other way, I can feel like, oh, everything is going to be fine. It's all going to be good. So I try to look at that side because I feel like that's much better. And it's the way to go. So rather than the traditional definition of perfection, some unattainable goal that we can't get to, just look at the perfection of your life as being the path and the plan that you have, whether you're in control of it or not, and being grateful for what you have on your path to take you where you need to go. You want to live your life joyfully, as joyfully as possible, so that you can experience everything you want to be experiencing. That's it. And that's my little talk today. I tried to keep it on the shorter side, so we'll see. Hi, Vanessa from Fredonia, and that's where I live normally. Annie went to school in Fredonia. Annie, did you really? Yeah, I went to college at Fredonia, too. Graduated quite some time ago. And I taught at the high school there, too. So that's kind of cool. So, again, if you're just joining in, this is Lilydale Radio, and I am Colleen Vanderzijden, a registered medium at Lilydale. Visit their website, lilydaleassembly.org, and you can find out everything that's happening. You can visit my website, colleenvanderzijden.com, or psychicmediumcolleen.com, and you can find out what I've got coming up, teaching a few workshops in the summer. Few workshops in the summer, a couple lectures coming up, things like that. My online course is coming out, I think next month. It's going to be very exciting. And when it is ready and truly uploaded to where it's going to be, the hosting site or whatever they call it, I will let you know because there will be a discount for those of you who watch my shows so that you can purchase it for a significantly reduced price, which will be nice if you want to. It's all about being happy. It's all about action strategies to help you handle your problems and learn about yourself. Because the more you learn about yourself, the easier it is for you to handle your problems. So they go together. So I have strategies to help you look at your problems in different ways. And as you do that, you actually learn about yourself. It's kind of like what I talk about here and on both of my radio shows, it's strategies. I'm a how-to person, and I love to help people with the how-tos. So we will take some callers this evening. So if you want to call in, the number is 818-739-8818. Now, these are the reasons you can call in. I didn't say this last week, and we had a little issue here with some of the people who called. So you can call in if you have a problem in your life and you're looking for a spiritual suggestion, spiritual life coaching, ways to look at your problem from a different angle, ways to take control of your power. We can do that. You can call in if you want to talk to one of your dead people on the other side. We can do a brief mediumship reading. We can do this. If you have questions about mediumship, coaching, healing, metaphysics, anything like that, you can call in and talk about that. You can talk about the perfection of your life and why it is the way it is. And you could share some of your lessons, even from the past, where you can look back and go, hey, you know, if that hadn't happened, then I wouldn't be who I am today. And those are fun things to do as well. So I do. Actually, I'm going to do a random reading first. Sometimes I do that a little bit later, but I want to do a random reading right now. This is so interesting. I'm looking at the colors, and every single one of them begins with a 9 for the last 4 numbers. Interesting. A little numerology thing going right there. So I do have a gentleman here on the other side, and when he's coming in, he's giving me the impression he has some problems in his hips, and I'm wondering actually if one of his legs might be slightly shorter than the other. Okay, so there's an issue in the hips. I feel like as he gets older, and he does feel significant age before he passes, at least in his 70s, I don't think he's making it quite to 80. Okay, so he 75 even, you know, something like this. I feel hip issues. I feel one leg a little bit shorter than the other. He seems a little bit slight to me. I don't feel like he's a big guy. He's funny, though. He's reminding me right now. He's reminding me of one of my grandparents. So there's a little bit of a feel of, what's the word I want to use? He's stubborn. He wants things a certain way, a little up and down. He can be very forceful in his beliefs, shall we say. A little intolerant of other people. I'm just going to come right out and say racist. So he's reminded me of my grandfather, who's a little bit like that. So this guy, I don't feel is a racist, but I feel like he's someone who would not tolerate certain things from other people. Okay. So what I've got here, I'm recap some of this because I want to make sure the right information is sticking with me. Hip issue, back, lower back, hips, one leg maybe shorter than the other, mid 70s, give or take a little bit. Obviously, there's a problem with his walking that has to do with this. He's on the slighter side, but he's kind of funny. He's kind of funny in a weird way, a little sarcastic, and somebody who would have no tolerance for people who are different than he is. I don't know if he's a straight out racist, but he definitely has a low tolerance for that. I do feel with him that there's some money issues, okay? And I feel like he wants to talk to a female here on this side who has some money issues going on right now. He's a bit of a penny pincher, and he would have had money hidden in different locations. There might have been, you know, a couple bills here in a book or in a pocket, in a drawer. There might have been another place where he hides money. It's not quite a jar, but there's another location where he hides money. It's like he must have grown up during the Depression era, because it seems to me that if I have a little bit of money, I'm going to set it aside. Okay, so anyway, that's more information on him. And he's talking about somebody here, a female here, who's having some money concerns. They're concerned they don't have enough money. He tells me that she's actually pretty good with her money. She actually does a fine job of paying the bills, but every now and then when she wants to make herself feel better, she'll go and buy something rather than finding a different way to feel better. So he does acknowledge that. He's also talking about not spending money on a coffee every day. So that may be an issue. A glass block. Oh, that's an interesting thought, Michelle. A glass block, because it's not a jar, but I want to put money in it. So that's an idea. Do you know somebody who did that? Well, let me know if this sounds like somebody that goes with you, because it may go with somebody who's listening or watching now, or it may go with somebody who's going to look at the video recording at a later time. And it is always so interesting how this works. I know. He's also talking about somebody with a head injury. I feel like there's either a bump or something happens in the back of the head. Okay, I'm not sure if it goes with him or somebody connected to him. So I'll just mention that. So he just wants to let this person know to be a little bit more careful with the money, and that it's going to be fine, because it's just a matter of, what's the word, discipline. Thank you. Discipline to make sure that's all good. Thank you. Well, he's kind of fun. I like him. You know what's so interesting is last week we were doing a reading, a randomish kind of reading, except I was talking to somebody on the phone and it didn't connect with her at all. But then I had one person contact me and then another person contact me. And that's okay when that happens, because what we'll, we call it piggybacking at Lilydale, where one spirit will come in and say things and two people or more will go, well, I know that's for me. The message makes sense. The information makes sense. And it's like the spirits use the path of least resistance. If enough information can come through and it applies to a few people, then they allow that to happen. So if ever there's a message that feels right to you, you take it and you do whatever you want with it, and use it as you can. I've had people at Lilydale come up to me and just go, well, that was for me. I know it was for me. And the other person I was talking to was definite it was for them. And I'm like, well, if it makes sense to you, take it. Just because somebody else took it doesn't mean it's not for you as well. Let's see. I just rolled money from a jar and don't buy coffee hardly ever. Oh, now that is funny, isn't it? If you recognize somebody who's kind of like this, take the message. It's awesome. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to take some callers. And remember, you can call in for a brief mediumship reading. You can call in if you have a problem and you want spiritual coaching, spiritual guidance, something like this. I'm going to avoid, if I can, making predictions, okay? So don't call in and ask me, you know, something like, is somebody going to pick you up from the airport? Because really, you're going to waste a phone call on that. So, you know, if you've got something like that, you can call in if you want to talk about this, whatever. Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to pick the last four numbers of your telephone number. And you can tell me your name, and we will go from there and see what we've got. Let's see what number I want to do. Let's do this one. 9250. Hello, 9250.
Oh, my gosh, hi.
How are you? Hi, who are you?
I'm Rachel. I'm Annie on Facebook. Oh, my goodness. That's right. Yes. How are you?
I'm good. How about you?
Good. And how can I help you today? What do you want to talk about?
So, talking about how things are perfect and how things happen perfectly, I work at a call center, and they randomly decided that I had to work on a Sunday. And I usually do my other job on a Sunday, but that was the Sunday I had taken off for a psychic fair. So it was like perfect the way they set it up.
that is crazy? Awesome. It is. And, you know, and the thing is, when you notice those small things, more things will start showing up. You start to see the perfection in life. And once you see that perfection in life, more and more opportunities will come. And you'll think, wow, this is amazing. This is perfect. I can't believe this worked out this way. That's so awesome. Yeah. And did you enjoy the day then?
It's actually coming up. And
okay.
I messed it up, actually. I didn't do the trusting of the universe. But,
well, but you, if you messed it up, maybe you didn't mess it up.
True.
You know?
So, yeah, I'm going to.
Yeah,
that's
awesome.
That would be, and that'd be interesting to share.
Yeah, well, thanks for sharing that, Rachel, because, it's fun when you get to hear other people's stories about the perfection in life and how something happens, and then you go, oh, maybe that's okay then. Thank you so much for sharing that, Rachel. Everybody loves it. You're welcome. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah.
Talk to you next time. Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Hey, Joanna, nice to see you. Joanna's right down the street from me right now. Isn't that cool? We're both in the same location. Kind of neat. Speaking of perfect things, I was driving back from taking my daughter to college one time, and somehow I managed to drive on the wrong road. I don't know how. I had done this I don't know how many times. And by the time I realized I was on the wrong road, it was too late to turn around. I had to get the GPS on and figure out how to get home because I didn't know how to get home that way. But then later on, I heard that there was a big, gigantic snowstorm, and it hit the road I was supposed to be on. I knew it was coming. That's why I was trying to get home quickly, because I wanted to get home before it hit. And because I got on the wrong road, I missed the snowstorm hitting that road. And later on, I heard about all these car accidents that had happened and everything. And I remember thinking, oh, my goodness. And I, at that point, I was kind of into recognizing the trusting that, well, it'll work out, you know, there's probably a good reason for it, but there really was a good reason for it. And if you can find out those results afterwards, it can make you kind of trust even more. Okay, to tonight, what number looks amazing to me? Let's see, how about this number? 3792. 3792. Hello, how are you today?
Hi, this is Katie. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. So how can I help you today?
Well, I love what you were talking about when you were saying that, for example, say we have judgments or opinions that are not really our own. They may have been projected onto us from other people, from society, from parents, and things like that. So I am dealing with that as pertaining to, say, me and maybe my, say, self-value and money. And I feel like I have judgments about it that that's not how I consciously feel. Maybe I feel it unconsciously from from a parent. So I'm working on releasing those fears, I guess, of going against my parent or things like that, and just I want to believe what I want to believe and feel what I want to feel, not what somebody else says I should feel and think.
And that's just the way it's supposed to be. And you mentioned such a good point, because we all, every single one of us, we have these cultural norms where we have grown up with certain beliefs, and we all have our own, but they usually tend to be very similar in some way. We're not good enough.
Yeah.
And we will notice them. And what you're doing is perfect because you're noticing. You're noticing that maybe there's some judgment there. You're noticing that you want to believe for yourself what you believe to be true. And that is 98% of it right there. 98%. You're almost there. Now, I mean, it really is because you, I mean, think back to when you weren't aware and
right.
you were just going through your life. So now you understand, and you understand you want to live for yourself and do your own thing and be your own person. So that's a huge step right there. And sometimes yeah. what, you know, like I mentioned, looking back, that can help you a lot. Just see your path and how you've come so far already that you've reached this point already is amazing, you know, and you can congratulate yourself for that. And sometimes when we have those beliefs from our parents or culture or teachers or wherever they come from, we have, it's so ingrained in us that we're not sure how to let it go. I always tell my clients
yeah.
to go back to when they were young. Like think back to when that first time was that you felt that way. You know, that you felt judgment or opinions or trying to please somebody else. And just see what was going on about them. And sometimes that can help bring up what needs to be brought up. It's so cool, though, to hear you doing this. It's like, it's really rather exciting.
Yeah, I kind of always knew the issue. I always knew this, like even for like 20 years ago. But I never knew how to change it. I never knew how to release it. I always felt like I would say giving up money to be close to my mother or something, or to be loved or accepted by her, because I always felt she didn't want me to have it. So it was like I always knew that, but I just never knew how to let it go or change it or be separate from
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
You know what? You might try this. This is a new exercise that I've started to use fairly recently, if you're still working on that a little bit. That, you know, I did this while I was walking, and it really helped a lot. And I started to just identify what I needed to let go of. So I could say, I need to let go of this. And I would say whatever it is. And then something else would come into my head, and I go, I let go of this. I let go of this. And I just keep doing it until it's like I've dumped it all out. Then after, I would move into I trust. Boom, whatever it is. I trust I'm being led. I trust I can stand strong in my power. I trust that I know what I need to do. That's helped me and a couple other people, because it is fairly new for me using it, of beginning to release some of those beliefs and let go. You know, the awareness is huge, definitely is. But I always feel like there has to be another strategy on top of it
yeah.
to just kind of solidify it a little bit, you know? What should I do? You mentioned an interest. Go ahead. Say what you're going to say.
No, or some type of releasing, like technique or something, like you're saying, yeah.
Yeah, and I like how-tos. You know, it's great to have the awareness, but if you don't know how to implement it, it doesn't do you any good.
Yeah.
So something, you mentioned a word before when you were talking about your values. And I've used this as well, to pick the value that speaks to you the most. And for you, it might be something like integrity, you know, integrity to yourself, be true to yourself. Mm-hmm. And what you do is as you're going about today, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, that's always in the back of your mind. So that you start to practice being true to yourself. You know, you're in the grocery store and, you know, if you have to speak up about something, you do. Or if you have to make a decision, you want to do this or that, you really touch in with yourself and say, I want to do this. This is what I want to do. And you, whenever you do that, the more you touch in with yourself, the easier it is to personify whatever value it is you want to live by. And that may be another technique you want to try.
Yes, yes, yes. You know what I realized when you just said that? I think I've always valued other people and their feelings and being accepted by them. And I think now I need to value me and my desires.
There we go.
Feelings.
We found it. Yes,
and that
we
will
found
help
it.
Me. It's not about being accepted by them. I need to be accepted by me. And for me to be accepted
yeah.
by me, I need to do what I need to believe and think what and have what I want to have. they can have what they want to have, but I don't want them running my life.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I think I need to value me and my wants and desires, and I think that may help me switch. I need to start to put myself first.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. So many of us grew up in the time of taking care of everybody else and suppressing ourselves to please other people. And there's nothing wrong with treating yourself like number one. You know, you're not a jerk, so you're not going to go around being egotistical and mean. I mean, you're not that way.
So
to treat yourself with the kindness and love that maybe you've shown other people and value yourself. And you could even take that other thing, that let go exercise I was talking about, and, you know, let go of putting
people
other people's opinions ahead of my own. Letting go of listening to other people's opinions, letting go of this, and then you can move into, I trust that I will, that I value myself. I trust that I know what I want. I trust that I can speak my truth. I trust that I'm in my power. Whatever strikes you, you know.
Right.
And that.
Oh, I love
that.
Thank you so much.
Well, Katie, that was so much fun. It's always fun when I'm talking to somebody in a more of a coaching mode, because every now we'll say something and they're like, oh, that's it. There it is. There it is. That's what we need to do. So you just never know. So thank you, Katie. That was so much fun talking to you, and thank you for calling in. You have fun
thank
playing
so
with
much.
Those strategies.
You're
welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You have a good night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. And that was Katie. Now, you see how we do that coaching thing, okay? That's what coaching is like. People will call me. We're talking about their problems. We're talking about what's going on. And then, you know, we'll just kind of think, okay, what strategy is going to help out here? And she knew, she said the word, which led me to where I needed to go to help her back around again. Isn't it amazing? That's how your spirit works through coaching as well. And it's fun to see how it works out. So many of us have grown up in that time of putting other people ahead of ourselves and feeling that it's selfish to take care of ourselves and feeling that it's selfish to put ourselves first. Now, I do want to make sure there's a little bit of a, what's the word I want, qualification here or something, that, like I said to her, you're not a jerk, okay? Putting yourself first doesn't mean you're an egotistical jerk who believes everybody should do whatever you want. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about putting yourself first, like self-care, loving yourself, honoring your opinions, honoring who you are, speaking your truth. That's what I'm talking about, okay? I want to make sure there's no confusion on any of that, because it is important that we be true to ourselves. You've heard me say before that I think the answer to every problem we have is being true to ourselves. Sometimes we don't know how to do it, and that's where some of these strategies can come in handy to help us get back to ourselves. Okay, let's take another caller. That'll be fun. Who do we want to talk to today? Da-da-da. Oh, we got a lot of callers now. Oh, my goodness me. Let's do this one. Where'd it go? There it is. 4613 is your number, 4613. These are the last four numbers of your telephone number. What's your name?
Hi, Colleen. This is Rebecca.
Hi, Rebecca. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing really well. How can I help you today?
You did a reading for me the other day on your call, on your show. I'm sorry. And I'm actually sitting here with one of my daughters. It was my three daughters lost their dad.
Oh, yes.
Yes. And I'm sitting here with one of my daughters. And did you happen to be an orchestra teacher?
Yes.
Okay. So she happened to just talk about you. And
your daughter?
Well, that's her. Yes, my daughter. She's an orchestra now. We moved here right after you left.
Oh, that's too bad. So I didn't get to teach her.
No, you didn't.
Oh,
yes. But anyway, so we're sitting here.
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just saying we're sitting here and I enjoy your show. So I asked her if she wanted to call, and now she is too shy to talk. while she's sitting here with me.
Okay. Now, I never remember what I've said in the past, but as soon as you said something about your daughters, this is the man who, on the other side, who one of your daughters is an artistic person?
Yes.
Okay. I just, all of a sudden, it's like coming back in here for me. And because I remember there was a lot of information coming through. You know, there was a lot of stuff happening. I don't know if he's stepping in just yet, but I'm going to see what happens. Because right now, actually, are you like sitting right next to your daughter as close as can be, like literally touching her?
Well, virtually through our cat. I mean, we are on the same bed, but she's touching the cat and I'm touching the cat.
Okay.
We're not touching each other.
Okay. Now, it's funny because the reason I'm asking you this is I want my arm as close to my side as possible. So I felt like somebody was right next to me, right there. So that was fun.
Yeah.
Now, your daughter, what instruments does she play? Is she a violin?
Yes.
Okay. And it's interesting too because, tell me if this is true. Does she sometimes find it very frustrating to make it work the way she wants it to? She hears it in her head a certain way, but it doesn't come out that way.
She's laughing. She's saying yes.
Okay. because the impression I'm getting here, and I do feel there's somebody bringing me this information, is that your daughter is very smart, okay? She understands a lot. She wants to do her best. And she has a little bit of those perfectionist tendencies apparently as well, where she wants it to be good. And he's actually telling, I got a he in there, so we'll see what happens, telling me that she's actually quite good, that she knows what she's doing, and to just be patient because it's just going to keep working. Interesting. Is she also quite good with animals? I know you said there's a cat next to you, so I know it sounds like I'm just making this up. But the reason I'm asking you this is that my hands are vibrating. And when my hands are vibrating, that usually means healing to me. Ask her, see what she thinks, about having healing abilities. Is she very good at listening to her friends? Is she very empathetic? Does she love to be with animals? Is she sensitive? All of those things. What makes sense out of that?
She is. And as far as the healing, too, she's going to a college program over the summer at, what's it called, Ashley? At Johns Hopkins University.
Oh, cool.
She's considering nursing school when she graduates.
Okay. Here we go. Okay. Awesome. Perfect. And that makes sense then with my hands. Because it's the qualities that she possesses that are part of that healing, the healing helping field. You know, where she, and it doesn't mean she has to go into nursing just because I'm feeling this, because no matter what she does, that's the way she is. You know, she would not be happy, though, in a field where, you know, like she's in a back office just doing numbers all the time or something. That wouldn't be good for her, because she's a helping, how can I put this in English? She helps people. She's going to be a helper of people. And that's part of her sensitivity and part of her gifts there. So interesting too, because she is a good kid and a good student. So she's going to have a lot more opportunities come to her than she could imagine. I'm feeling her setting her path in place and doing what she needs to do and going in that direction, but there's going to be other opportunities that open up for her. And I am seeing quite a bit of education here for her too, so I want to make sure I mention that. There's a lot of pride coming in from the person on the other side. I don't know if it is your husband or not, but he's got a lot to say about her anyway. There's a lot of pride coming in because she's learned a lot in her life, and she's learned a lot about empathy and compassion. And those two traits are going to be very important to her when she's working with other people in the future. It's important to her now, but even more so in the future. Oh, she sounds so much fun. What grade is she in now?
She's in ninth.
Okay, so she's still on the younger side. I'm going to have to, they have all the concerts at school, or on nights I have shows, so I can't go to any concerts. And I used to set up the concert dates. I was in charge of that. And so I always put them
right.
on different nights, Tuesdays or Wednesdays, because if somebody works on Tuesdays and Thursdays or whatever nights they put them on, then people can't go, you know. So,
right.
So I said to the guy in charge now, Andy, you know, he's a good friend of mine. I said, you got to move them around a little bit so people can go. So
right.
maybe one day I'll bop up to school. Maybe I can meet her and just say hi, because I haven't seen some of the kids
yeah,
in a long
right.
time. You know? Yeah. Well,
yeah.
good. Well, Rebecca, I suppose I could stop talking to you, but that was really fun, a little bit different there. Just kind of go
yes,
off there and see what happens. Yeah, go ahead.
With your guidance, my other daughter, the eldest, who is graduating this year from the high school and still trying to determine where she's going to go in the fall, would you happen to have an idea?
That's really funny. Okay, you know, this is interesting. Is any of the places, is oh, this is a bad sentence, whatever. Do any of them begin with a B? A B.
A B?
I want B. A B. B.
Yeah, that you're considering.
Anything that she's considering that starts with a B, like boy, ball, buffalo, Boston, but. I don't know. I keep getting B in my head, which is interesting, actually. It could mean something else. B.
Okay.
B. Interesting. Yeah, don't take this as an end-all here. And I feel like I'm going a bit away, okay? So I feel like I'm going, but not too far away. Hour and a half, two maybe, not too far. Not too far. So we'll see. What is she planning on going into? Does she know yet?
Secondary education.
Okay, good. Good. Yeah, that feels right to me, too. Okay, I'm telling her. Yeah, that feels right. So something with that. And I don't know what the B is. You're going to have to let me know. There's something with a B. It'll be funnier.
Yeah.
It'll probably be like, you know, Becky or Barbara or, you know, something, you know.
Right.
Who knows? You know, it'll be funny to see. I always love just seeing what happens. Or I could just be wacky. So, yeah. Interesting. Yeah, there's a little hesitation on her part on this whole thing. It's almost as though she's just not quite sure yet. Just not quite sure.
Yeah, that's the
look on her face. There's too many questions. It's you know what? It's almost like it's too big of a decision. That, you know, if I make this decision, I'm going to be stuck with it forever. But she's
yeah,
not.
Yeah, she's nodding her head, yes.
Yeah, but she's not stuck with it forever because, number one, I don't feel her making a mistake. She's got to go with the one that feels right. You know, it feels right.
We're just talking about that. I told
yeah.
her intuition. We were just doing tarot cards, and they just keep popping up that she needs to listen to her intuition.
Yeah, she's got to go with what feels right. Because what happens is we start thinking, and the more we think, we get in crazy brain, and we can't think clearly anymore. So we've got to detach, don't mind that. We've got to detach from the thinking and the weighing. Well, if I go here, then this. If I go here, then that. If I go here. It's got to be based on the feeling, totally the feeling. And what I did, you know, for my daughter, when we had to pick for her, she really wanted to go to one, didn't get very much financial aid. The other one, she got a lot of financial aid. And then the third one just wasn't going to work anyway. We did a coin toss to see which
no
one
kidding.
She really liked better. Yeah. And because we did the coin toss, because you know right away. So if she has choices and can narrow it down, because if it's the wrong choice and the coin says go there, she'll get a weird feeling in her stomach right away. And that means, no, don't go there, because there will be an immediate reaction, you know. You know, of course, then again, we do have to take into consideration the financial aspects. You know, if you get, you know, $50,000 at one school and you have to pay $50,000 at another, that might be a no-brainer. so,
right.
But, you know, you just take that into consideration. But it is based on the feeling, totally. And I feel like it's going to be okay with her. Like, she's going to be able to sort it out and just go, okay, Yeah. And I wonder too. You know when they have those. You go and you visit the school after you've been accepted. I'm sure there's, I can't think of the word for it, but you go and visit after you've been accepted. Accepted Student Day, that's what they call it. That may make a difference too. So when she gets accepted to different places, make sure she goes to those, because that gives her a better feeling for what the place is really like. And she'll meet some people that'll help. Because if you base it just on one visit, it's not going to give her enough to base the feeling on. But if you can go back for one of those days, then you can, she'll feel it even clearer. And I feel like that makes the difference. So keep that in mind.
Wonderful.
Well, that was fun. Well, hi, Rebecca. Well,
yes.
Thank you. It was so nice talking to you and your daughter, sort of, and just seeing what
happened. Thank you. Yeah,
so
I'll keep you informed.
Yeah, definitely do. I do want to know what happens. Okay, you have a good night. Thanks for calling.
All right, you too. Thanks, Colleen.
You're welcome. Bye. Oh, so much fun. Let's see. Joanna said something about being true, but you're hurting others. Yes, that is something I do want to talk about because, you know, sometimes you don't have to be a jerk. You know, we know that. We've already said that. You don't have to be a jerk when you speak your truth. But yes, sometimes when you speak your truth, it does hurt other people. They may be disappointed that you're not doing what they want you to do. They may be sad. If you end a relationship, they may be sad because it's ending. But if it's not right for you, then it has to end. And you'll get through the emotions because that's what we have to do. If somebody's a jerk to you and you stand up to them, you're standing in your power, and it's easy for us to feel badly when we feel like we're treating somebody else badly by speaking our truth, but we're not. We're standing in our power, and we have to detach from their possible emotions. I can do this, you know, I don't want to say anything that's going to hurt somebody's feelings, so sometimes I won't say things. So I understand that very well. And because I am aware, I try to do it. It doesn't always work, but I try to be clearer in those things. But it can be hard to speak up. I have found the longer I wait and not speak up, the harder it becomes. So you have to say what you have to say, and you cannot take responsibility for how someone else feels. If they feel bad, it's not your responsibility. Even if what you told them made them feel bad, it's still not your responsibility. Unless you're a jerk, okay? But we are not. Anybody watching this and listening is not a jerk. So we would not do that. But you can understand. Now, if somebody's a jerk to you, you have to protect yourself and detach from theirs as well. Yes, moving on is the way to do it. You just got to move on, and that's the way it is. Okay, now Michelle is saying, topic suggests for energetic house cleansing since spring cleaning is coming. Yay! You know what I just read the other day? I read that sunlight takes care of germs. So to make sure your windows are open and the sun is streaming in, that's great to get that fresh air in there, of course. What I like to do sometimes for the energetic cleansing kind of thing is to either do music, tuning forks, bells throughout the house just to kind of raise the vibration a little bit. Certain pieces of music can do it as well. Light is just a huge one for me. I've got to have light. I've got to have space around me. And you know, every time I walk in my Lilydale house, it's funny. I don't know. I walk in and I go, "Hi, house. I love you, house." Always do this as I walk in, as though my house is a living being, which it is. And because of the energy that is within that house, same thing with the house in Fredonia that I live in. I love that house. You know, I walk in and I just feel safe there. And because of that, that helps with the cleansing as well. So talk to your house. I know it sounds really funny, doesn't it? But it works. So I'll do anything. So just talk and let it go there as much as possible. The actual act of cleaning does help with the energy cleaning as well. That sounds funny. But the actual cleaning does help. It's a release of energies and things like that. The what do you call those? The essential oils in the things that make, you know, looks like steam coming up. Oh my God, I can't think of the name of it. Aromatherapy. There you go. Use that because that will help as well. Okay, so I have talked. How far over have I gone? Oh, not too far, only 5 minutes. Yeah, it's about normal lately. Ever since December, I just can't seem to stop on time. It's funny because sometimes I get on and I think, oh, I don't know if I have enough to talk about. And then here we are an hour and 5 minutes later and I'm still chatting away. So let's see. There's something else. I have a spirit. I'm just going to do a quick random. They just want to say hi. I want to be playing the piano. This is so fun. I want to be playing the piano, and there's a twin connection somehow with this, and it's man on the other side, connection with piano. I feel like he might have played, had a nice voice, by the way, and I feel like there's a twin connection somehow in the family. He's talking about the singing. He has a nice voice, but he's telling me he was not always on pitch. It's kind of funny. And I feel like I'm singing in church all of a sudden, like I'm singing in church as a congregation member, not as in the choir. But there's a full-throated voice here. And he's basically just coming in just to say hi. So let me know if he goes to you sometime. It'll be fun to see. He just wants to say hi. I do like him. Okay, I suppose I better stop talking or you guys will be with me all night long. So I want to thank you so much for watching and listening. And I'm Colleen van der Zijden. You can follow me at Colleen van der Zijden Medium and Self-Empowerment Coach on Facebook. You can also go to my website, ColleenVanderZijden.com. Make sure you check out LilydaleAssembly.org and see everything that's happening. And as soon as my course comes out, I will be letting you know because I'll be very excited and so relieved when it's done. It's a lot more work than I thought it would be, but it's going to be good. I'm really excited about it, so that'll be fun. I think that's all I have to say. Did I cover everything? Well, I think I did. You guys have a great night, great week. Oh, and I will not see you next week, but I will post that because I'll be traveling back home and hope it's not snowing. So you guys have a great week. I'll see you in a little bit. Bye-bye. Thank you, Facebook people.